We're just okay and we play some movies. We're just okay.
Movie watchers.
Welcome everyone to another episode of Just Okay Movies. I'm your host Biggie Sauce and I'm joined by...
Oh, it's Guido.
Oh my snap, Guido. How you doing, man? It's been a while.
It's been a while since we've recorded, yes. I'm doing well, I suppose, all things considered.
Very nice. Well, that is very good to hear. Well, you know, shit, I should have said that the last episode would be the final one because I just knew that the industry would get lazy after us being off the air and would just get back to their old practices of putting out some shit. And I have, because of quarantine, I've watched a lot of movies and pissed me off so much that I wanted to get on here and bitch about it with Guido. And apparently he agrees. He's got some things he wants to say as well.
Oh, I didn't actually know this was a bitch sesh. You're like, hey, let's just talk about some movies, you know? And now we're going to complain? That's fine.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I figured you wouldn't mind that too much.
Before we get into that, though, do you remember, maybe I feel like we need to let some of the younger audience know about like just movie history. So back in the year 2019, there were these things called movie theaters. And people would go to them in large groups and watch a movie at the same time.
Whoa, wait. Hold on. Back it up. You're saying that we actually left our homes?
Yeah. Yeah. People left their homes. They would snot and spit in each other's mouths the whole time that they're out of the house.
Right. Okay, boomer. Dude, I'm not going to lie, man. Now that Tenet is going to be the next, more than likely, tentpole film to happen once these theaters start opening up, which I think is doing early showings at the end of this month, you know, there will finally be a reason to kind of make you want to go to the theater. And I'm kind of torn. You know, part of me kind of misses it. You know, maybe the camaraderie of, you know, everyone sitting around watching, especially like a big either sci-fi or action flick and be like, whoa, or ooh, or boo, you know, and then clapping at the end or some shit. I kind of miss that. But as you said, I am a little nervous about sitting so close to someone else who I don't know.
And that's what they want you to feel, Biggie. They want you to feel nervous around your fellow man so that they can control you with their fluoride in the water.
Dude, I'm not going to lie. Megan and I went to a restaurant about a couple weeks ago, and I was nervous the whole time. There's this guy behind us coughing up a lung, and I really had a hard time eating. Like, I was like, that's so weird. Like, so I can't imagine in a theater where I'm even closer to someone, and they're like, you know, shoving, you know, popcorn in their mouth, picking their nose, farting everywhere. And I'm like, oh, my God, I got the COVID now. I don't know, but I want to see Tenet because I feel like I'm going to hate it, but I don't know if that's worth going through that experience. I'm not sure. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think everybody should go back when it's safe again, but I think that they're going to take steps to make it safe. Like, if you think about it, when Tenet comes out, Tenet's going to be the only movie out. So
right.
All these giant multiplexes are going to fill every screen with Tenet, and they're going to have these giant spaces in between everybody in all the theaters, you know?
Right. So that's a good point.
If that makes you feel safe, you should go see it. I'd consider it. I don't know if I'd take my daughter or something or my parents, but I might risk it.
Yeah, I've thought about going to like an Alamo Draft House where it's already small to begin with. You know, those like boutique theaters, they're going to really, really make sure everything is, you know, up to snuff. And I'm sure, as you said, AMC, all the big chains, because they know if news comes out that they're getting COVID from seeing Tenet, that it's going to be just bad news. So they're going to definitely make sure of it. But I think that's the one movie. I don't know what else is coming out this year. I know a James Bond movie's coming out. I'm not too crazy about that one. But Tenet, maybe. I think I would risk it for that movie. Of course, there will also always be the big question of after it releases, how soon is it going to hit? Was it the theater to direct video? I don't know if they're going to if he's going to do that with Tenet or not. I would imagine,
because I'm sure I know he doesn't want to. He wants to release it in Asia right now, or just everywhere else in the world that can see movies except for the United States. So, but you know, it's going to get pirated very fast, and it's going to take some willpower on my behalf if it does release like that to not download a copy of it and watch it in my house.
If you do, let me know, because I might just watch it over Discord with you, because I really do miss that, going to the theater and watching films. I prefer that far more than sitting out at home and watching to a degree. If it's a film I'm interested in, you know, I don't 100%. Watch anything. Exactly. I've heard you feel the same way. But I don't think Star Wars, if it was like Star Wars coming out, I'd probably say, yeah, I'm gonna go.
Really?
Yeah.
Star Wars?
Yeah. Oh, we'll talk about Star Wars here in a second, more detail. Assuming episode 6 was actually good, I would have went to theater and watched it, because a film like that, it works so well in the cinema. You know, the sound, the picture, all that just feels great. And I'm sure Tenet will as well. It looks like it's got a lot of the practical effects, you know, some pretty good actors in it, good action. I think the thing I'm worried about is the story. I think the story's going to suck ass. It's just whether or not everything else can help elevate it.
That's Nolan films?
I do, but I feel like this is going to be the first one I'll hate. Well, because this looks like, okay, he's going the trajectory of Quentin Tarantino. And I think he's getting lazy. And I'll talk about a Quentin Tarantino film here in a second. But it's just like he starts so high, like these really great, amazing films where he really had to put in a ton of effort. And Tenet kind of feels like a very sophisticated fart. Like, it's kind of exciting, but it's still like kind of weak at the end, you know, or it doesn't have enough power to really stand there. Not like Interstellar or, you know, those that were like real high minded, interesting plot. This just looks like a guy who can somehow do things with his mind, and he's followed by the Twilight guy and they get in the hijinks.
Time cops.
I don't know. I don't know. I hope I'm wrong.
Because he has a horrible track record.
He's got the worst track record ever. No. And that's where I'm hoping I'm wrong. But just something about the... Okay. Did you see that big teaser that they did with like them... I get my words together. Going to that theater and thwarting that hostile takeover or terrorist activity thing that was going on? It was like a 10-minute trailer. Oh, yeah, go watch it. It starts really, really good, but it goes so long that it gets boring. And I've never, ever said that about a Nolan trailer, because he did the same thing with the Joker one, the Dark Knight, and also the other one with Bane. And this was the first time where I felt so lost and got bored. And then when the action happened, I was kind of already too far gone. So I think it was just a little too long for what they needed it to do. Because honestly, I kind of thought, oh, my God, Batman movie. And then it was like, oh, this is not a Batman movie. This is something good or new. And then it became, all right, let's get on with it. I want to watch the movie I came to see. But that's my take on it. But check it out. It's worth watching. But either way, I hope it does well. If it's bad, you'll probably hear me bitch about it. And everyone will tell me I'm wrong, which is totally fine. I'm totally fine with that. But yeah, that one looks good. But you know what? Just for a second, I don't want to dwell on it for too long, because we got a bunch of other movies to talk about. I just want to bitch for a second about episode 6. Just for
you
a
mean
second.
9?
Oh, you're right. Yeah, 6
or
is a good
are
one.
Are you
9.
Talking about Return of the Jedi?
Yeah, I'm going back to Return of the Jedi and saying how shitty it was, which arguably is probably the worst of that series, in my opinion, but still far, far better. I take episode 6 over any of the new films and the prequels. But in either case, episode 9, The Rise of Skywalker, was so damn disappointing. So disappointing to the fact that I don't know what they were doing over there. More so with the story, special effects, all that stuff's completely fine. It's great, top notch, but it just could not save that sad, pathetic story when it could have been something cool.
Yeah, I mean, all three of those movies could have been something cool, but I gave up hope. I didn't see it in theater, and I fell asleep when I watched it at home. So to this day, I still haven't finished the movie. I know, like, her and Kylo are fighting on a spaceship that's in some water or something. That's kind of what I last remember about it.
Oh my God. Yeah. Quite a bit happens after that point. But that really was kind of the exciting part. That's the thing. Like, I imagine a kid, and it's a shitty ass kid who has these awesome toys in a toy box. Like, all these neat pieces, like, I don't know, like a cool hammer that makes noises or whatever. And he's like, all these neat things, but he grabs the shittiest ones, mixes them with some good ones, and puts them in the worst order possible. Like, and that's the thing, because we had, like, the Knights of Ren, which were introduced in episode 6, 7, which was a cool idea. Like, these fallen Jedi that rose with Kylo after they killed all the other Jedi from Luke's little school thing. That's a cool concept. Or you've got, like, the Phasma, who seemed like a really cool character, maybe kind of a bounty hunter-esque, not Jabba the Hutt, Boba Fett character. And just all these pieces, and on top of the main characters being kind of neat in themselves, being kind of archetypes of the previous trilogy, just in kind of different ways. And we got this Stormtrooper character that's totally new. Really neat stuff. But they did nothing with them that was, like, in any way tied to each other or felt like they paid off in the end. And then all at the very end, in the last film, they add in these brand new archetypes that weren't present in the previous films, like Poe being, oh, you know how to hotwire a car? Oh, man, you must have a shady past. What?
Yeah.
That is shitty writing. Like, where did that come from?
I find it kind of funny and a little entertaining that for episode 8, The Force Awakens, was it?
Yeah.
I get them all mixed up. 8, there were so many apologists for the series. There's so many people that were like, oh, like, just wait, you know, this is the middle film, or I really liked it. I liked that he didn't sacrifice himself for Rose. And I, you know, just apologists out the gate. Like, you look at Twitter back then, and whenever this was, 2017, I think. Right. It was just people defending the movies and a lot of other people that were like, it's shit, man. And you're confusing yourself. And then 9 came out and those people kind of just went away, you know? There weren't these long essay pieces, these video logs on how good it was and how everybody else is wrong. It was just like, yeah, okay, I guess it's over.
I agree. Oh, that was The Last Jedi, episode 8. But okay. You're totally right. And I was one of those people. I liked 8 the most. Out of all three, it was my favorite. Not because it was a good film. It was bad. It may be the worst of the three, honestly. But at least they tried something, and they failed at it, but they tried. And I'm like, okay, if you at least learn from that, you did some neat things, so let's just take that and maybe kind of wrap a really good ending using all those pieces and make a good ending out of it, I might be back on board with you. You might have something. And that's why I thought maybe with bringing Abrams back, because he's just a yes man to Disney. He'll do whatever they want him to do. And maybe they're like, okay, we've learned from these two films. Now we just need to tighten that story back up. But no, like with my kid analogy, he grabbed another cool toy out of the toy chest and threw it in, and that would be Palpatine. That whole thing with Palpatine was so sad. It hurt my heart because I heard he was going to be in the film. I was like, okay, that's neat. Maybe they're going to do something interesting with him. But no, he just became the new bad guy. And that's not very interesting because it doesn't feel earned. Like, you know, the first line of that crawl, I knew there was a major problem. It's when it's like the Emperor speaks and everyone hears him and trembles in fear that he's back. Like, oh, no, that's what they're doing. You killed off a really good bad guy. Snoke was interesting because we didn't know anything about him. and you killed him. That's cool. I like that. I did not expect it. But then you just put another Snoke in his place, which is Palpatine. Why? I don't care about Palpatine. I haven't cared about him in many movies ago. Mate, go all in. Put your fucking Ben Solo as the main bad guy. Let them have their conflict, but let that be the resolution, because that feels earned. You know, it feels like, okay, I've seen this guy. He's had a hard time struggling who he wants to be between the good and the bad. And he finally makes his decision at the end. And even he's not sure about it, but now he's going all in. And maybe at the very last second, he regrets his decision, but it's too late. You know, Rey strikes him down, something, whatever happens there. Or even he sacrifices himself and takes down the whole First Order. Something like that. That would at least be somewhat interesting. But no, we have to, you know, bring back up that apparently Rey actually does matter in the story, because she's Palpatine's granddaughter, which is stupid on its own, but whatever. It's just, it's not taking any of the characters that we've known and grown to love and really gets a good resolution at the end. It just feels like Palpatine was kind of cool. We want Rey to matter more. Let's do that. So sad. It's so sad.
It's tough. I think that the door's open. They're starting it with a clean slate, I guess. People are going to come in to the next, whatever it is, very dubious at what they're about to watch. But they could go so many ways. And I saw this video about it where a guy was talking about how they just dropped all the Skywalker stuff, drop all the old, you know, Darth Vader, get rid of that, and do genre pieces just in the Star Wars universe. So sure, you make a heist movie where they have to steal some sort of, you know, crazy thing from this, you know, Jabba-like character that runs a planet that's a, you know, a gangster organization. Or have a Fast and the Furious type movie where these guys are souping up their spaceships and trying to do the Kessel Run and the cops are after them and shit like that. You know, just do genre pieces in the Star Wars universe. I think that's the way to go. Forget about Luke.
Right. Agreed. And I think there's a lot of merit to that thought, because Mandalorian's done really well. You know,
right.
Everyone seems to like it. Basically a
spaghetti Western just in the Star Wars universe.
Exactly. It's perfect. You know, it wouldn't surprise me if they keep going down that route, because they're wanting to do a series of Obi-Wan, which, and it sounds like they're going to have. I just forgot his name. Who's the guy who played young Obi-Wan?
Ewan
McGregor. Thank you. Thank you. He's on board, which is excellent. He's a good actor. So I'm happy he's, if it ever comes to fruition, he'll be playing that lead role. But I agree. Take it in different directions. Let's get away from the Skywalker stuff. But what worries me, and maybe it wasn't enough of a departure, but we talked about it years ago. It's weird to say that, was with Solo. Because Solo honestly was that. It was a heist film that was actually very enjoyable, more than I ever expected. But it flopped. Well, for Disney standards, $400 million on a Star Wars franchise, that flopped. But they at least tried to go that direction. I think they should have just left Han Solo out of it and maybe could have done a little bit better, like into Mandalorian. But they tried, and it was good, but it failed. So then they were like, okay, we're going all in. We're cutting Star Wars story films, and we're going just straight in on the trilogy only. And I think that's also kind of flopped on them. Maybe not so much financially, but in the PR sense, it has flopped. So I agree with you. Maybe they'll say, all right, Mandalorian's done well. We just need to make it its own separate thing, just in a different genre, get away maybe completely from Jedi and everything. It's just so worn out at this point. Let's look at the other jobs or stuff that people do in the Star Wars universe. Maybe have some Empire and stuff in it, just to add some flavor if they want to, but mainly make them smaller stories, but they're big stories in their own world. And I agree with you. I think they should go that route. Give it a shot. But
Let's move on from Star Wars. You're really bumming me out.
I'm sorry, man. I've had to get that off my chest. I will tell you, though, I never thought I would say this in my whole life, that in almost 3 to 4 months difference, we would have a bad Star Wars movie, but a great Sonic the Hedgehog movie. Have you seen it?
I have not seen it. I've heard only good things.
I cannot recommend it more. Honestly, you know, I'm 31 years old. You know, I've seen about everything. I was like, oh, you know, Sonic the Hedgehog film, it's probably going to be too kiddie for me. And yeah, it is definitely aimed for a younger audience. But honestly, I had a blast. It was so much fun. A fun, clean-cut story. Jim Carrey and whoever, who's his name, that played as the sheriff guy, did a really great job. It was fun. The guy that did the voice of Sonic did a perfect job of really bringing that character to life. The time I know when a good, like, hybrid real life and animated film really hits that spark with me, and I lose myself in the stories when I forget that the animated character is animated. And that happened to me quite a bit. Like, I just kind of forgot that he was an animated character. He just fits so well in the story and the dialogue that just you lose that. And I recommend it to anybody, especially if you've got little nieces, nephews, or little brothers. They'll love it. You'll find it very enjoyable. Definitely check it out.
Excellent. Yeah, I'll probably give it a watch with the daughter or something if I can talk her into it. It's just that whole... It's Sonic. Like,
right.
Anyone who's not like a fan of Sonic is like, yeah, I guess, you know, what do you want me to watch the next Mortal Kombat movie that comes out too? You know, it's just, it's a video game movie. And if you're not a fan of the franchise, then it's a tough sell. It's a tough sell.
Definitely. No, and that's true. And that's, I mean, even for me who likes Sonic, it's a tough sell. But if you can at least get their ass in the seat, maybe through 10 minutes of it, I think you'll win them over. I think so.
Sweet.
Yeah.
In terms of stinkers, I watched one of those on the Just Okay Gamers Discord. That's discord.gg/justokgamers. We have a movie roll. If you want to watch movies with people, you just ping that roll. And sometimes people watch with you. But we watched a movie called Vivarium. And it stars a Facebook guy.
Lex Luthor. Me.
Jesse Eisenberg is his name.
That's it.
And some lady. I don't know. I'm sure she's popular in some regard. And they are looking for a house, and this strange man shows them to a house in a subdivision. He disappears, and they are stuck in this perpetual subdivision of empty houses. And after a while, they're delivered a baby on their doorstep, and on the box it says, you will be let go when the baby is old.
What? Yeah. Is that verbatim?
No, I think it was like, I don't know, something like, you know, it will set you free when you raise this kid.
I wish it said that. That's great.
You know, it ages at a rapid pace. You don't know what it is through the movie. I don't want to spoil anything, but, you know, honestly, don't bother watching it. It was a long movie, but it was basically like what I just explained sounds like a Twilight Zone episode, doesn't it?
It does.
You know, a good 30 minutes. You know, the people struggle with having to raise this weird alien child, and, you know, they probably do it or they don't, and they die at the end. So it's like that, except it's 2 hours long, and the pace is horrible. It's not that interesting, and not the greatest movie. Everything looks the same too, because they're in a subdivision where all the houses look the same, so it's not even visually appealing. So that was a big stinker, and we had a lot of people watching that one too, so I think everybody felt the same.
Oh man, boy, that sounds rough. Oh, and the actress's name, I don't know how you forgot this name. It's Imogen Poots.
Imogen Poots.
I thought Imogen Poots.
I know she's a. I thought she directed it. Maybe she did. She is an artist or like one of those music people. So I'm so bad at talking since I haven't been podcasting. Well, you know, one of those music people. What are they called? A musician.
There we go. Dude, I feel the same way. Like, my brain just, it was bad before, but even now I'm talking to Megan, I could barely get a sentence out. I'm like, wait, you know what I'm saying? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Her full name is Imogen Gay Poots.
Okay.
Unfortunate.
Yeah, when they were naming her, did they pick up a prank call or something? Like, hi, yeah, this is Memorial Hospital. Who's this? Imogen Gay Poots. Yeah, what an unfortunate name.
What an unfortunate name. Goodness gracious. Well, that sounds like a really good Black Mirror episode, but I cannot imagine it being 2 hours worth of that.
Yeah.
Fascinating. Well, that definitely does sound like a stinker. I'm going to have to mark that off my list of things to watch. One film that, okay, let me break down my categories here. Of all the films I've watched, and that'll make a little more sense of why I find it so fascinating. I have good, as just really good films. Sonic the Hedgehog's on that list. Just okay, which I'll talk about some of those probably after this one. Then bad films. Then I have bad but interesting. And this is the best way I can classify this film. It's called Ad Astra, starring Brad Pitt.
Sure.
Big sci-fi movie. Wow, yeah. What a film. Have you seen it?
I have seen it.
You know, and maybe let me know if you agree with me or not. It feels like three different screenplays.
It does. And three different directors at points.
Agreed. 100% agree. Like the very beginning up to the point he gets to that first space station on the moon, it feels like a Christopher Nolan, feels like Interstellar, you know, that same kind of pace, serious, very moody, you know, not totally sure how this is going to go, feels a little off, but you're excited for the adventure. Then you get to the space station where he's going to then go to, I think, Neptune. And it feels like a schlocky 70s sci-fi movie because we fight rabid space monkeys and get into a moon cart fight. And then
moon cart chase was fucking sick, though.
It was. Megan and I both, some of those shots, like when he was looking at that driver and he gets shot, we jumped. It was freaky. Just the sound design and everything was just so intense. But then the final part felt like if Michael Bay was trying to be Stanley Kubrick in writing and in the shooting and everything. It just felt like a poor representation of 2001. Like, the time of how everything's going gets distorted. And then, you know, when he finally comes and finds his father, spoilers, their conversation and their morals and like how they're viewing things gets a little muddled. It feels weird. Like, you know what they were going for, but they just did not get there.
Yeah. It's got those strange shifts. Like, each act is different. But man, yeah, you're right. And when it's bad but interesting, because there were parts where I was really enthralled with it, but that faded pretty quick after the monkey thing.
Yeah,
where I was like, all right, just find your dad. You already know where he is. He's at Uranus.
Exactly. The monkey thing like didn't have to happen. In the story, they only stop because it's, I guess, like their maritime law or whatever in space, that if there's a SOS, they have to stop and investigate. It doesn't help the plot at all, except for a crew member dies. And because Megan and I were chatting about it, we're like, the whole story is these weird waves are coming from this ship that they sent on a massive probe to go explore uncharted space. And it's affecting the Earth somehow. I think like electric, like outages and stuff like that's happening. It's going to destroy the Earth at some point. So Brad Pitt goes to basically find his father who's on this ship and figure out what's happening. And he has these inner dialogues, because the big thing about him is he's able to stay calm, cool, collected, heart rate never goes higher than something really low. He's just a smooth guy. Great for interstellar travel. But he has these inner monologues all the time about what he's doing, what he's going to find. You know all that. It's nothing you haven't seen anywhere else in any other space movie. But he goes and finds these monkeys, and they're like freaking out, killing a whole bunch of people, and they lose a person, but they kill the monkeys and they move on from there. I was like, okay, neat. Maybe the waves coming from that ship are like affecting what living things. Like, ooh, that's a neat puzzle on what's going on. And he has this stupid monologue about sometimes when I think of the monkey, I actually think of myself. I like, wait. And then at the very end, Megan and I looked at each other and were like, they just stopped to do the monkey thing. So you had that stupid inner dialogue. It had nothing to do with the rest of the movie. And that thing was like 20 minutes long out of a 2-hour movie.
Well, honestly, I think it was for the pace, because if you didn't have that, then the audience is sitting there after the fucking awesome moon cart chase and just waiting for it to end, you know?
That's a good point. That's a very good point. It's, yeah, you're right. It still adds to that feeling of like, these are three different screenplays like mushed into each other, because that kind of intensity doesn't happen for the rest of the film, except for one part where Tommy Lee Jones tries to kill both of them when he really just wants to kill himself. You know, that was a bit intense, but the rest of it wasn't really that much. But something that bugged me at the very end was, in order for him to get back to Earth, because his ship is spent or he can't get to it or something like that, he injects like a nuclear weapon out the back of it and just rides the wave all the way to Earth. And I'm like, okay, so it took him months to get to where he's at, and he got back home in like a day. Why don't they just use nuclear weapons to get everywhere? Like, right. Why go through all that if it's so easy to get back? That was just kind of a last little thing that, you know, it doesn't matter. It's not part of the story or anything, but it's just, as mentally, I'm like, they went through this pain of showing what it takes to traverse all the way to the far reaches of space that they've ever been to. And it's cool. But then when it's so easy to get back, it's like, well, what was all that for? It's just a waste. But
yeah,
watch it. I think it's free on HBO.
Yeah, there you go. HBO Max.
All right, man. Hit me with another one. What other film have you watched that either you liked or didn't like or was like, meh?
One that we had both watched, I know, is a movie called Palm Springs that's available on Hulu. It's a Hulu original.
Yes, sir.
Stars Andy Samberg, and it's produced by the Lonely Island guys. Very typical Groundhog Day scenario, just looked at more existentially, I feel. I liked it a lot.
Agreed. It was excellent. I think that is a good film to look at, that you can make a good movie, even direct to video, even in theaters. Doesn't matter the budget, because you could definitely tell this movie was made on a budget, but the story was so well done and tied in so well with the scenery and everything that it just didn't matter. You know, I don't care they used the same five sets through the entire movie because the story was so interesting.
Right. Yeah. And they pulled it off, and they had little hints of like, so it was a Groundhog Day scenario, but few people are caught in the scenario. So that everybody's day resets and there's a handful of people that remember each day resetting. And then everybody else who just, you know, are either stuck in this loop or I don't know if everybody's stuck in this loop or if it's just the people that are experiencing the same day over and over that are stuck in the loop. Actually, no, they kind of clear that up at the end. They clear that up. It's just the people that are experiencing it that are stuck in the loop. Anyways, it touches on all the stuff that Groundhog's Day and what was the sci-fi one with Tom Cruise?
There's that catchphrase they use for the name of the movie, Live, Die, Repeat. Edge of Tomorrow.
Edge of Tomorrow, yes. You know, it hits all those tropes, but it does it in an engaging and pretty funny way. It's not the greatest movie in the world. It's not probably not the greatest movie this year, but it was entertaining and delightful and made you happy watching it. So that gets a good stamp in my book.
Oh, 100% agree. Excellent movie. I'd almost say do a free trial or spend the $7 for Hulu just to watch it. It's a good time. It's really a good time. Would you classify it as a dark comedy? I wouldn't. I kind of view it as being a regular comedy, but it kind of has dark comedy imagery. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, it's not very dark. There's right. moments of it that are dark, like, you know, people dying and stuff, him killing himself, her killing herself. But, you know, it's all stuff that, you know, going into it, you're like, oh, they're stuck in this loop. She's going to try and kill herself and then, you know, live through it to see the next day repeated. So, no, I'd just call it a regular, I'd call it a rom-com, actually, a romantic comedy.
Yeah, you're right. It would be a rom-com. I totally agree with that. J.K. Simmons is in it. He's awesome. He goes kind of crazy, which is perfect for him.
Yeah. Fun movie, Palm Springs. Check it out.
Definitely check it out. Well, there's a movie. Let me get back on the bitching train again, just for a moment. And it's a film that's, I guess, pretty old. It's a couple years old. Quentin Tarantino flick called Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. So what I did was... Bro,
came out last year.
Was that just last year? Oh, yeah, hey, it's not that old November. Then. Oh, I thought it was at least 2 years ago. Okay, cool. So it's still somewhat relevant. I did a back-to-back with two Hollywood-themed movies. The Hollywood one by Tarantino and then Hail Caesar, which I hadn't seen. I think that one's pretty old.
Yeah, that one's old.
And I really... my feelings on them were reversed what I was expecting. I really expected to like the Once Upon a Time more than Hail Caesar, but really it was the other way around. And I have Quentin Tarantino to blame for that because, oh my God, is that movie so boring until about the halfway mark? And not even like a Quentin Tarantino boring where it's, you know, kind of setting up the players, you know, where they need to go. And then finally having the payoff in the last 30 minutes of the film, which definitely happens here. It's the same pacing and structure of any other film of his. But I feel like he's relying too much on his camera work and imagery, but the imagery is not interesting enough to carry along the plot because there's a lot, especially at the beginning, a lot of back cam, center focus, two people in the front seats driving down Hollywood. And that sounds cool, and it is for the first 5 or 10 minutes, but it keeps going and going and going to the point where you're like, I don't know who I'm even watching driving this car. I don't know where they're going. I don't particularly care. I'm about to shut this damn thing off. And
okay.
I feel I know you're going to I have a feeling you're going to disagree with me on this one, but I just. You know, I enjoy slow paced stuff. Like I thoroughly do. I don't need to be, you know, mile a minute, action packed, heavy dialogue for me to get into it. But I do need a motivation. I need something to let me know what's happening. I love a nice trip down the boulevard as much as anyone else in film, you know, looking at pretty lights and all that. But I do need to have something to keep me going or at least know what's happening or else I'll just go and do it myself. You know,
did you go into it knowing anything about Manson and Tate and, you know, Stahl Ranch, any of that stuff? You did?
Yes.
So yeah, that's your motivation. That's
it wasn't enough, though. Like, yeah, that's cool. But that's when you finally start getting that stuff. It's about halfway through or at least, you know, getting close to it. But there's so much. Like moving around and driving and dialogue that doesn't really go anywhere early on that it's off-putting to me. To me, it was very off-putting. Now, once we kind of get our characters in motion, which I felt like was an eternity, but really it was probably like 20, 30 minutes into the movie, it starts picking up, you know, seeing the career of Leonardo DiCaprio and how he's struggling with his identity and trying to become better than he is. Same way with Brad Pitt kind of being a, you know, kind of happy-go-lucky with everything. Very much different than DiCaprio, but, you know, seeing him get in fights with Bruce Lee and all the kind of stuff he does, go into the ranch, like all that stuff was cool. I like that. It was a lot of fun, but honestly, I'm happy I stuck through it, but there's so much I should have got cut off. And the only thing I can think of is it's Tarantino, his ego popping back up again and getting in the way of his films. And that's disappointing. And I could have easily left it. And I have a feeling people who maybe have less restraint than I do probably did leave it. And I just think, you know, that's, he could do better. He can do much better than this movie. And I'm just disappointed in it.
I wasn't. I think you have a point. It could, you know, you got to cut your baby a little bit, cut it down a little bit. It was super long, but I enjoyed every minute of it, pretty much. I enjoyed taking that time machine back and seeing these people's lives, even at the beginning when I didn't know who they were. I don't know. I enjoyed it. I think I'm glad it got nominated for an Academy Award for Best Picture.
Oh, it did? Gross.
Gross. I wish we would have done our Academy Award because it was a good year. Way better than fucking Green Book year.
Oh, no. No. Although I still haven't seen Parasite yet. But I don't think it'll be Green Book. Green Book was too good.
Oh, shut up. I bet you have the Hallmark channel on right now. Because that's what Green Book is.
No, here in a couple months we will for all the Christmas movies. But yeah, not right now. But no, it was fine. But reason why I also bring up Hail Caesar, I watched it right afterwards. And I liked it. It was really, really good. I felt like it told a similar story in that it's just, this is Hollywood, you know, working, you know, around a similar time period and everything. But I just thought it told it in a much more concise and interesting way by following this exec around his life, the shit he's got to deal with. And then also dealing with, you know, actors like George Clooney, in which I'm sure people like him getting involved in stuff and trying to keep their image, you know, tight. So that way they're marketable. All that kind of stuff was so much fun. Even though it was a completely fake story, not based on any kind of real events, unlike Hollywood, you know, where it just took a twist to those events. But I just found it to be a more interesting film because it was more focused. I hate to say bad things about the imagery from Tarantino. As I said, the imagery was great. I like slow paced, but it just didn't have enough of a story to really grip you until about the midway point for me. Whereas Hail Caesar was great all the way through. A lot of fun, great performances. It was just a fun time. And it's the one I would easily recommend to anyone. Whereas with Hollywood, I'd say, even if you're a Tarantino fan, the first 15, 20 minutes might be a little rough. You have to power through.
I feel like a lot of people slept on Hail Caesar. And yeah. I think everybody should watch it just for the one scene with him and Ralph Fiennes. And so the main character's a cowboy actor, and he's put into a role in like a classy romantic movie. And this all takes place in what, like the 1940s?
Right.
And he can't not do his cowboy voice, and they're just going back and forth. All the director, Ralph Fiennes, is trying to get him to say, "Would that it were so simple," and he can't do it. And it just goes back and forth of them trying to say the line to each other for a good minute or so. And it was hilarious. I love that scene.
I could probably reenact that. "'Twere it were so simple." Or a more country accent. "'Twere it were so simple."
Yeah.
Oh, it was great. It's a great scene. So I agree. I think it needs a little more. I mean, it's a Coen Brothers film. Coen Brothers are awesome. So, you know, just that alone needs no introduction. Check it out. It's a fun film.
I have a little anecdote.
Okay.
So there's a movie called Bone Tomahawk. Have you seen it?
I have not. Looking it up now.
Okay, it has Kurt Russell in it, and it's like a Western, and these three Western dudes, three people from their town get kidnapped. So these three, you know, a gunslinger and a sheriff and, you know, the town doctor, they go to try and find them. And my dad loves Western movies. And it's a Western up until about like the third act, where it turns into a horror movie.
Whoa, really?
My dad watched this, and my dad loves Westerns. He watched this movie, and he got tired, so he shut it off. And he shut it off pretty much 10 minutes before that switch happens. And I went over there between the time that he finished it and he started it. He was like, I'm watching this great movie. Kurt Russell plays such a good cowboy. I love it so much. This Western, man, they're good actors. I love this Western. This is my dad. And I didn't want to give it away.
Oh, so you had seen it prior.
I'd seen it already. And I didn't want to give it away. I'm like, well, you know, I love the last bit of it. The last half, it really ends well. And so he goes and watches it. And I go over there like, I don't know, 2 days later. And he's like, Patrick, what the fuck did I watch the other night? And he was just so astounded. There's like a scene in it where if anyone knows or has seen Bone Tomahawk, they know the scene that I'm talking about, where a 72-year-old, you know, not horror buff would watch it and just be absolutely disgusted in what he was watching.
Really?
Yes. But I went into it actually different than my dad. And I explained this to him. I was like, it was billed to me as a horror movie. So I'm sitting there for, you know, an hour and a half watching a Western. And I'm like, when is the fucking horror going to happen? But when it does happen, man, it switches on, and it switches on hard. Bone Tomahawk is pretty good.
I'm about to check this out. Because, yeah, all of the marketing material, I would guess just a regular old Western. It, no way looks like a horror film.
Yeah. Even, you know, even the name, Bone Tomahawk, it sounds like some sort of Western.
Yeah.
But wow. Kurt Russell, yeah, my dad's right. He does play an awesome, you know, cowboy type of dude, Western guy. I love Kurt Russell.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's a great actor. Absolutely. One movie I just watched recently, and it's one that sat on my queue forever. Definitely shifting genres, but it's Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy.
Okay.
And if you enjoy a slow as hell spy whodunit movie, I cannot recommend it enough. Now, it's a film you have to really pay attention, because names and locations go by kind of quickly, dialogue's fast. You know, it's very much has that feeling of a British film, you know, they're not going to hold your hand too much. You know, you just got to keep up with it. But man, the ending is so enjoyable. It's Gary Oldman, Colin Firth, something I didn't know, and I just completely forgotten his name. Who's the guy who played Bane in the Batman movie?
Tom Hardy. Oh,
that's it. Thank you. I didn't know he was British. I had no idea. Oh. Yeah, I had no clue. He has an excellent English or American accent. Like, he does a great job. Yeah, I would have never guessed. He's in it. Benedict Cumberbatch, Patch, whatever his name is. He's in it. Does a great job. Just a bunch of heavy British hitters, and it's a great movie. Highly recommend it. As I said, it's slow. It's not James Bond by any means, but it's an interesting, you know, Cold War take on espionage, more so, you know, stealing information and trying to figure out which of this group is the leak.
I saw it a long time ago, and it kind of came out, and I don't remember much of it, but I do remember the bridge scene.
Ooh, yes.
Which was really good, and like, I remember being on the edge of my seat, and it gives you all those kind of James Bond feelings without any of the action.
Right, exactly. Definitely no action at all, but it's a fun movie. Highly recommended. It's an older one. I think that, goodness gracious, that movie's probably like 5 or 6 years old now. There's an original British one. I didn't even touch it. I think that one's made in like the 70s. But the remake is amazing. Highly recommend it.
Awesome.
Yeah, and another movie, I'll just throw it out there real quick because there's not much to say about it. But it's a fairly new HBO Max exclusive called An American Pickle. And it's fascinating, really fun movie. Honestly, kind of made me a little retrospective of myself. Kind of think on me and my, you know, sensibilities, things I worry about, and getting to compare it to someone who lived 100 years ago. And, you know, you see, oh, Seth Rogen. Oh, man, there's going to be so many farts and throw ups and shit jokes. No, I don't think there's one fart joke in the whole thing. And honestly, he did a really good job playing two different characters. So the premise is a guy in the, I cannot remember their name, so bear with me. A guy in the 1920s falls into a vat of pickles and they don't realize he's there, and he gets preserved and is found 100 years later and reunites with his great grandson. Seth Rogen plays both the grandson and the great grandfather. And it's basically them learning about each other, you know, their views, how they handle social situations, how they view, you know, family, you know, working, things like that, and through all kinds of, I don't want to call them hijinks, but just situations. And it's really, really well done. Seth Rogen, I think he's got some good acting chops. And I'm happy to see he's kind of pushing out from the, you know, the bromance films, you know, and, you know, he's done a lot of the Judd Apatow movies, but I would call this, you know, a step above an Apatow movie, unless it was made by Apatow. Actually, I don't know. It could have been. It felt kind of like one. But anyway, does a really, really good job, and I highly recommend it. It'd be almost a movie I would recommend doing a free week of HBO Max just to watch.
That's on my list. I've been meaning to watch that. So I think I'll probably fire up the old movie tag on the Discord and watch it with a few people one of these nights.
Ooh, probably this week. Please do. I actually wouldn't mind watching it again myself. No, well done. Highly recommended. Awesome. Well, you got anything else?
Oh, man. I don't know. I saw a movie called Booksmart. You ever heard of you seen this? You heard about this?
I have heard of it. But I've not seen it.
It's Olivia Wilde's directorial debut.
Yeah, this movie.
It's pretty much, God, speaking of Seth Rogen, super bad. It's pretty much super bad, but with girls.
Okay, that's what it looked like.
So, yeah, they're out on the last night of high school, you know, trying to get to a party to, you know, meet their crushes. So, it's super bad. It had some funny moments. It was okay, I suppose.
So, how would you rate her directorial debut? Like, was she pretty competent directing the cam and the story, or did it feel kind of?
It was good, but it felt like the actors kind of carried it. It seemed like a lot of improv, a lot of like, okay, now say this line. But, you know, try and add your own spin to it, or, you know, call her gay and then, you know, do it however you want to kind of way of directing, you know, like how comedy movies these days are made, you know, right. Not super strict to the script. Right. Yeah, I think that was kind of her method with directing this movie, but it's okay. I'd give her another shot, I suppose.
Good to hear. Good to hear. Yeah, it looked interesting. And definitely always fascinating when an actress, you know, been around the block, lots of films and stuff, takes on the mantle of director, kind of see how it goes. It always feels like it's whenever an actor takes that role, usually they let the actors in the film have a lot more free reign, which I guess makes sense compared to, you know, they probably have worked with a bunch of people who have either, you know, had them in a chokehold, you do exactly as I say or else, and, you know, maybe they don't want to offer that for their actors. So usually it feels like it's a little more free reign, but I'm always interested, you know, all kinds of really good directors were actors. You know, I always think of Ron Howard, of course. I'd say he's probably a better director than he was an actor. But it's very interesting. Very interesting. You know what? You've kind of renewed my interest in it. I kind of want to check it out just to see how she does running the show. I think the last... I'll go through these three really quick. I finally watched Knives Out, which is so much fun. Oh my God. I hate I waited that long to watch it.
Yeah, I have seen Knives Out. Delightful. Delightful. Absolutely. Little flick.
You know, it really makes you realize, you know, I thought for so long with, I forgot his name. James Bond.
Daniel Craig,
thank you so much. You know, he's been wanting to get out of James Bond for a while now, and he's signed up for this next one. I'm sure the paycheck was hard to say no to. But seeing him in this, it really, you know, he's got some good chops. You know, he's able to play this character. His accent just threw me for a loop. Like,
yeah, it was good.
It was perfect. I started busting out laughing because I knew exactly what he was going for. He's going for a North Carolinian accent, and he nailed it. You know, did really good job. And the story was really good. I did not know how I felt about them. Basically revealing what actually happened about the midway point.
Yeah, no, I liked that. I thought it threw the whole whodunit trope on its head. It was like, no, it happened this way, but it you know, the motivations for how it happened aren't what you think.
Right. And I warmed up to it because I was really like, oh, man, why did they do that? I was having so much fun trying to figure it out myself, even though I didn't have near enough pieces to put the whole thing together. That's always my thing I love is getting to investigate with them, which is probably why I like Tinker Tailor so much. But you're right. By the end of it, I was happy they did it. And it was a great film. I don't want to really share too many pieces about it because I can't recommend it enough to check it out. If you enjoy a whodunit kind of movie, I mean, I put it up there as a really good one. The only other movie I watched that I really liked was Killing Them Softly. That's another Brad Pitt movie. If you enjoy a slow moving gangster film that's only about like an hour, 20 minutes long, watch it. Just watch it. It's really good.
You like a lot of slow moving movies and then you complain about them.
Dude, that's why I'm so hard on Tarantino, because he's capable. He is capable of making an excellent movie. But I just feel like there's times where either if his ego or he just gets lazy, I don't know what it is, but it just misses the mark. You know, not to say that, you know, Hollywood is a fantastic movie. I don't in any way want to say it's bad, but it could have just been so much better if it was edited down early on, or at least given a little more information up front for me to stomach those really long, really, really, really long driving scenes. But, you know, still, that's just me. He can do it. That's why I'm hard on him. If it was someone else, you know, I don't know, like Abrams or lower than him who released this movie, I'd be like, excellent job. You know, need a little tweaking, but I'll be harder on Tarantino. He can take it. But yeah, check out Killing Them Softly. Brad Pitt, I think, is a fantastic actor who gets overshadowed by Leonardo DiCaprio and a lot of those meetup movies that they do, like in Hollywood. I'm still hard on DiCaprio. He sucks ass. Brad Pitt's amazing.
Whoa.
Oh, you
didn't think his performance is good in Once Upon a Time?
No, it was typical Leo.
No, didn't scream
it
once.
It was typical. He didn't have to screaming, but just overacting, like to the point where let me tell you this. It is
that's his character. He's an actor.
But that's the thing. Okay. You're not wrong. This is probably his best performance I've seen in a long time, but still not nearly as good. Like when I look at him, I still see Leo. I see Leo trying his hardest to do the role he's given. And yeah, he's trying really hard. And yeah, he's doing the role, but he doesn't disconnect into a point where I'm like, I don't think about this guy playing this character and it's Leonardo compared to when I look at Brad Pitt. Even in Once Upon a Time, like, I don't really think of it, him being Brad Pitt, because he just mends so well with his character. And that's the problem I have with Leo. Are you saying
Brad Pitt is a better actor than Leonardo DiCaprio?
Oh, 100%. Oh my Put God, my life on wrong. It. He is so much better. So no, he's not. Much better.
He plays his character from Ocean's 11 in every movie.
No, yeah. I disagree. No.
Okay.
I'm yeah. Killing Him Softly. He played a gangster, which is no way like when I look at Ocean's 11, you're not wrong. I kind of imagine that's just Brad Pitt on a normal day. Like, he's just maybe tweaking himself just a little bit. I totally agree with you there. But like Killing Him Softly, I look at him, he's a gangster. And I don't really think about him being Brad Pitt, the guy who is, in that Meetin' Joe Black movie and all those other kind of films that you kind of imagine a guy who looks like him be in that kind of movie. He looks like a gangster, a rough gangster. I look at Hollywood. He's a stunt guy. Doesn't have much going on other than that, but he doesn't need to because he's that character. But then I look at Leo. I'm like, Leo in Django Unchained. Oh, it's Leo playing a plantation owner. Okay. Weird accent, weird facial expressions. It's exactly how I would imagine a guy playing that character, but I don't imagine Leo is that character.
No. Leo was Calvin Candy. You're absolutely wrong. He was Calvin Candy.
I respect your opinion. Absolutely. I get the merits that he is good at playing a character, but I will never, ever, out of all the films I've seen, the only film, big film of his I've never seen is Gangsters of New York, which is on my list to watch. But I cannot imagine that movie changing my opinion either, that he's fine at playing a character, but he never truly becomes that character. Because it's
okay. All right. Why don't you go watch Ad Astra again and tell me how good Brad Pitt is?
That's funny you say that. Because he was for the character he played in Ad Astra, he did a good job. Now that character was not interesting at all.
No,
and not
he
well
played
written.
His character from Ocean's 11 who could keep his pulse low. That's it. Surprised but he didn't plan a whole moon heist.
But if Leo was in that role, first of all, he'd be like, "I'm no way I'm having inner monologues. I'm going to say everything. Fuck this like heartbeat thing. I'm going to like yell at the monkey." He'll just yell about everything, or he'll cry about it. He just doesn't have that range. He just doesn't. It's sad. It sucks because everyone in Hollywood apparently loves him, but he does not have range. Yelling and crying is not range. But
you're so wrong though.
I dude, believe me, I must be wrong because everyone tells me that. Even my own dad tells me that.
Oh no. Biggie Senior?
Biggie Senior. Yeah, we talked about Hollywood and he was like, Leo's so good at it. And I'm like, he's better. But anyway, yeah, Leo sucks. So any other film or we want to wrap this thing up?
I think I'm good, man. I don't know. There's a few others I watch, but nothing really super notable. Oh, Greyhound is really good. Tom Hanks doing a naval movie. Very exciting movie. And it's short.
Really?
And it's action-packed. And it starts, and then it's over. Like, it's you forget you're watching the movie. It's really good.
Wow. Oh, very nice.
But very it's interesting. Not – there's nothing – you're basically it's interesting because they make it a bunch of men staring at water very tense because that's all it is.
Wow.
They're just looking out at water trying to find where subs are, which they can't see. But yeah, it's good. Greyhound's good.
Interesting. Yeah, that's one I've wanted to see. I think it's on Apple TV Plus. Which yes. I was surprised because I've heard so many good things about it, but the trailer for me didn't look very good. Like especially the graphics and stuff, this looked really cheap. I'm like, I was surprised they were going to release this in theaters, but it sounds like the acting and the writing really make up for it.
Yeah, most of the like fighting is done at night, so you can't even really see much. There's a few explosions and whatnot. It does look a little not great at points, but you get over it quick because of just how tense the movie is.
Interesting. Well, cool. I'm going to have to watch that then. Well, hey, if you got any films you want to chat about, send us an email at justokaymovies@gmail.com. If we do another episode, we'll definitely talk about them. Also, send us a tweet at justokaymovies. We're always super interested to hear about your thoughts. And I mean, as for another episode, you know, I think Guido and I are just kind of, you know, if we want to do another one, we'll hop on and chit chat about some films, or maybe there's a good movie we saw, we'll come on here and talk. Can't promise a weekly episode, but, you know, test the waters and see how it is. But no, please let us know, or hop in the Discord, as Guido said, discord.gg/justokaymovies. There's a movie channel.
You got the Discord wrong.
Did I? Just okay movies. I'm sorry. Discord.gg/justokaygamers.
It's all right.
But hop on there. You know, there's tons of people on there watching movies. I think they just finished all the Marvel films like a couple nights ago.
Yeah, that was a long. We've been doing that since before COVID, I think. Yeah. Bombhab specifically has been hosting them.
Yeah. Yeah, I think some people were watching Lord of the Rings on there not long ago. So there's always usually at least one movie going on a week, if not more. But hop in there and check it out. But anyways, guys, thank you so much for listening. Love you guys to death. And we will chat with you again sometime. Thank you so much, as always, Guido. You are a wonderful person to talk movies with. Even though we might disagree, still thoroughly enjoy it.
Absolutely, Biggie.
All right, guys, you all have a good day. Talk to you later.
Bye.